why they weren't destroyed?
I'm sure there's a definite reason. I'm almost positive that it was for historical, cultural. People said, well, okay, this was such a part of this culture that we have to keep one set intact. Kind of like, in these futuristic things, like The Last Human Being, like regular before the mutants, like it's kept in this museum or in a zoo or whatever, so people can come and see what it was like. So it's interesting because a lot of the bells, at Ivan Veliki at the Kremlin in Moscow, but that set was not intact, although the largest bell is, the Great Uspensky Bell, which is way bigger than Sisoy. But the truth be told, the Great Uspensky Bell doesn't really have a nice voice. Bigger is not necessarily better. But Rostov is particularly, you heard the sonority of those bells. There's no other set intact that has that wonderful sonority that they did. But I better get on to this because we have a way to go here. So here we are. These patterns make a lasting imprint on the faithful. And at the same time, the musical form of appeal, it can be very complex, like a symphony, as we'll hear, consisting of multiple parts. And talented performers were often illiterate geniuses. And that's one of the main reasons why many masterpieces didn't survive to our days, because the art of the Trezvon was passed from generation to generation. And that's so sad because when most of the bells were destroyed, or it was illegal, by the way, even churches that did have bells, it was illegal during the Soviet period to ring church bells. So I was saying about Lenin, I forgot about when we started to talk about Breitwig, because if people were working in factories in cities and the church down the street for 2 hours is ringing this festal peal, people didn't want to work. That made you want to dance and celebrate. So it wasn't very conducive to Lenin's 5-year plans, there were laws passed to forbid it because it was a distraction. It was. Because, these things made a lot of noise, as you can tell, like, a 32-ton piece of brass is a pretty loud musical instrument, as you can imagine. So, researchers, by the way, find similarity between fast, dynamic, and celebratory peals, and also the rhythms of folk dance and song motifs. So you see, it wasn't conducive to keeping people at labor while that was going on in the sound space. So while giving credit to those researchers, I think we also need to mention that Holy Scripture also serves as a prototype for these Russian bells, or at least used as an example. For example, in Russia, they believe that the Trinity Saint Sergius Lavra's classic Trezvon closely resembles Psalm 117 or 118, the 17th Kathisma, in its rhythm and dynamics. And this, by the way, this is my favorite Trezvon of all. And probably because it's the one I can't reproduce yet, but it's also the first one that I ever, ever heard for real. You want to hear a story? My first story of a Trezvon, I got to give you this picture. It is the feast of the first anniversary of the canonization of Saint Innocent. This is the first visit of the primate of the Orthodox Church in America, Metropolitan Theodosius, to Russia. And it's 1978, and it's October, and we had left Moscow at night. It was midnight in the pouring rain. I was, at that time, a 26-year-old deacon serving with Metropolitan, traveling with Metropolitan Theodosius, and it was midnight. Pouring rain, we had driven, about 60 to 80 kilometers, the Lavra is from Moscow, maybe some of you know better than I do, and we got, you know, and it's like a medieval fortress, the Lavra is, and we got there at midnight, and these huge medieval doors swung open, and more than 100 monks with lighted candles in the rain were lined up on either side, and they began singing the Tripar to the famous Trinity St. Sergius melody, to St. Sergius of Radhanish, and he took us to his relics. I remember they threw at me a set of vestments and put them on, threw on a mantle on Theodosius, and as we walked through those gates at midnight, this is what I heard. Literally, this is what I heard.